I've been studying something off and on for a couple years now, and so I asked my wife this morning a question. I said, what day was Jesus crucified? And she gave me the answer. She said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what day Jesus was crucified. It doesn't matter whether it was a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday. All that matters is that he was crucified and he died for us. And he rose again. And he gives us life, that we have hope of our sins being forgiven and we can be with him in heaven. But I've been studying what day I thought Jesus was crucified. What day was the Passover? And I started this back in April of 2019. I've spent a lot of hours studying this. I've tried to study every verse I can find, and I decided that I was going to convince myself that Jesus was crucified on Friday. I was going to convince myself that that happened. And I convinced myself that he was crucified on Wednesday. So I went back and I studied the Hebrew calendar for a couple hours. Hebrew calendar is really tough. There's 354 days in the Hebrew calendar. This year is 5,182. Not 2021, it's 5,182. How do you get 354 days? They add a month to the calendar. Their new year starts in September and October. But their first month of the year is March and April. Everything I studied in this calendar was as chaotic as I ever thought it would be. So every so many years they add a month because they can't add days. Hebrew calendar, they can't add days. And they actually have a council that they base the calendar on. This council gets together and they decide when the first day of the next year will be, and they go forward from there. So one thing I wanted to look at is go back and study what days the Passover is on in the years that Christ was to be crucified. And there's a lot of people that think he was crucified in 30 AD or 31 AD. So I thought, okay, I'll start there. 30, 31 AD. So I backed through it. And there's several websites that'll give you all the history and the backing it up. And in 30 AD, the Passover's on a Friday. In 31 AD, Passover's on a Wednesday. So I didn't get my convincing of it being on a Friday just from getting into the Hebrew calendar, which is what I thought would happen. But I found that the Passover is on any day of the week because it's on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Well, that's like Veterans Day being on November 11th. Veterans Day is on a different day of the week. So the Passover is on a different day of the week. And I found in 31 AD, the Passover is on Wednesday. But most people that you talk to, and I want to make sure that you know that everything I'm saying here today has nothing to do with your salvation. What day Jesus was crucified doesn't matter. And I wanted to start out with that. I'm going to end with that. What day Jesus was crucified doesn't matter in your salvation. You just need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for you and rose for you. And that's what's most important in the salvation. So I like to study things, and it helps me to give talks because I get more involved in my studies in talks to learn from the scriptures. So one thing that I agreed to do with Mike is put more scriptures into my thoughts. So I'm going to go through all the scriptures, and I ask everyone to go back and do the research that I've done and try to convince yourself one way or the other, even though it doesn't matter. The reason I'm not saying Thursday is because Thursday doesn't fit the scriptures at all. So I could come up with verse after verse that Thursday just didn't work. Even though I could go back and figure out when the Passover was on Thursday, which also didn't fit the 30 AD to 31 AD that everybody talks about. Didn't fit that either. So let me get started. I believe that Jesus died on the Passover. And I believe that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Which everybody that I talk to believes that. Do the scriptures prove that? Yes, they do. Everything I could read pointed me in that direction. But in order to get the whole picture, one must piece together the information given in the Gospels, coordinating this picture with the information in the Old Testament, describing what was going on during the Passover season. We know that Jesus celebrated the Passover in obedience to the commandments to do so, given in Leviticus 23, Exodus 12, and Numbers 28. And I read and studied all three of those. He began the events leading to his death by celebrating this event for which he instructed his disciples to prepare. And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And this is found in Mark 14, 16. After eating the Passover meal, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples to pray. And this is found in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. And they came to the place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." This is found in Mark 14:32. After praying, Jesus was arrested, tried, and on the cross by 9 a.m. the same day, the day of the Passover. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. This is found in Luke 22:54. Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate. And this is found in Matthew 27, 1 and 2. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. This is Mark 15, 25. So I think it's pretty obvious that Jesus died on the Passover. And there's enough verses to prove that. That he was eating the Passover meal when it talks about that back in the Old Testament. And then everything happened from there. Almost everyone knows Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. I don't think there's anyone in the world that doesn't believe that Jesus died, was crucified. But there is people of this world that don't believe he was raised from the dead. We believe that he died, was crucified, and was raised from the dead. Traditional teaching says that Jesus died on Friday, the weekly Sabbath, Good Friday, and arose the following Sunday. However, Jesus himself said, and this is found in Matthew 12:40, and none of the other gospels state it like Matthew does, "For Jesus, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth," Matthew 12:40. And these are Jesus' words. And one thing I did the last talk that I gave was I decided that I was going to study about Jonah. And I studied about Jonah. One of the reasons was because I wanted a fishing story, because we'd been fishing so much last year that I thought it was a good idea. But I also studied about Jonah and read everything I could read about Jonah for the 3 days and three nights. So that was part of my study, was determine, was it truly 3 days and three nights? And I can't find anything that talks otherwise. So what I did is I looked for examples in the Bible of where it says 3 days and three nights, so that I would have a comparison. So I did a word search, and I tried to find 3 days and three nights, and I found that in Esther, out at Esther 5. And I found out that the 3 days and the three nights aren't the same as if Christ was crucified on a Friday. Because I thought, okay, there's going to be another example in the Bible of what 3 days and three nights are. I found it, but it wasn't the same as Friday to Sunday. It wasn't the same. I thought maybe it would be. So then I start studying how Jews come up with what their days are. And the Jews like to count part days. So I'm trying to understand, why did Christ say 3 days and three nights? Why? Because in the other Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John, it doesn't say 3 days and three nights. It says the time like Jonah. It is like Jonah. It doesn't say 3 days, three nights. It only says it once. So why did he say that? Is it possible to get 3 days and three nights as Jonah if Christ was crucified on Friday? No, not even close. It's not possible. Christ was very specific in what he said. So if Christ was crucified on a Friday, so you'd have Friday night, Saturday, he rose Sunday, Saturday night. That's it. And he's back. Friday night and Saturday night aren't even close to the same example in the Bible. Therefore, from Jesus' own words, he says, I'm going to give you a sign, and you want a sign. 3 days and three nights will I be in the heart of the earth. Leviticus 23 gives us an important and missing information in the traditional teaching, because we have not bothered to put the New Testament account into the Old Testament framework. We have misunderstood and misconstrued the events of the Passover season in which Jesus died and was resurrected. Therefore, to understand what happened, let's look at the missing information. I'd like to go to Leviticus 23, 5 through 8. In the first month of the 14th day of the month of Eben, which is the first month, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread of the Lord. For 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. This Passover tells us that the Passover is on the 14th and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th. They are back to back, no matter what. Passover starts the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The first day and the last day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is a Sabbath. This is a special Sabbath, also called the High Sabbath. Therefore, the Sabbath which Jesus had to be removed from the cross was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the weekly Sabbath. This weekly Sabbath does not play a part in Jesus' timeline, which we will shortly see. Unlike the weekly Sabbath, that is every Friday night to Saturday night, the special Sabbath can fall on any day of the week. And as I went through the Hebrew calendar, it falls on every day of the week. So you can go back and find each day when the high Sabbath will fall on. We find scriptures in the New Testament that gives us this information about the special Sabbath. So it's in the New Testament. So if I go to Luke 23, 52 through 54, we find this man, Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. This was after 3 p.m. because Christ died at 3 p.m. Everybody was in shock that Christ was going to actually be crucified. I'm sure they were. I would have been. So Joseph is going to go to Pilate, and it's after 3 p.m. And then in verse 53, and he asked for the body of Jesus in 53, and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. This was done by sunset at 6 p.m. because that's when the high Sabbath started. And it was, in verse 54, it says, and it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. And then in John 19:31, it says, the Jews therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. We find if the next day was just Saturday and they were both high days and Sabbath days, why would he need to say that? He wouldn't have had to say it. Wouldn't have mattered. Next day was a Saturday. But in the scriptures, he says, or the next day was a high day. If the next day was a Saturday, that didn't matter. Then in John 19:42, it says, therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So he didn't have much time. He only had 3 hours. So luckily, he knew that he had a brand new tomb that nobody else had been in. So they couldn't say that there was other stuff in there. Jesus was the only one in there. The Passover is not a Sabbath. It is a day of preparation for the high Sabbath, and it's the first day of the 7-day feast of unleavened bread. Jesus died on Passover, but was removed from the cross before sunset, which began the high Sabbath, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. Leviticus 23:7 says again, on the first day you shall have holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. So we know after the Passover, no matter what, is a Sabbath day. On a Sabbath, no work can be done. Therefore, the women could not prepare Jesus' body for burial. They could not. Jesus was removed from the cross, wrapped in linen, and placed in the tomb. That's exactly what happened. So we find in Mark 15:46 and 47 that says, and Joseph bought a linen cloth, and he does this all after 3 o'clock, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in the tomb, which had been hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. And then in 47 it says, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. So the women were with them at the tomb. Went to see him. I want to follow Jesus. He's my son. I want to know where he's going to be and what you're going to do with him. So Mary went with them and was with them when he was put in the tomb. Well, you look at all that had to happen. They had to take him down, had to take him off the cross. They had to buy linen. They had to get him all ready to go, and they took him to this place, and they put him there. It was pretty close, 6 o'clock, had to be. That's a lot to do. So a lot has happened. Pilate's approved it. They took him down, and they put him there, and Mary was there. Because of the encroaching high Sabbath, the linen wrapping was all the time that they had. We find in John where it talks about that they did put some spices and prepared enough to get him started in the linen cloth. And they wrapped that in with the linen cloth. So on the Sabbath, no one was allowed to buy or sell or prepare anything on a Sabbath day. So no matter what, the high Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the women that needed to prepare spices for Jesus could not do anything. They could not do anything on the next day. They could not. So we find this in Nehemiah 10:31, which says, as for the people of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. Therefore, the women could not go get anything. So we find in Mark 16:1 that they went and bought spices. Mark 16:1 says they went and bought spices, which they can't do on a Sabbath day. This really convinced me. They can't do this. Mark 16:1 says, and when the Sabbath was over, which would have been the high Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. So they had to prepare these spices and they had to go buy them. Since there were no food processors or machinery during the first century, this was time consuming. Labor's task had to all be done by hand. On the day after the high Sabbath, the woman purchased the spices and spent the day preparing them to anoint Jesus' body. However, they were once again delayed, this time, by the weekly Sabbath. And I'd like to read Luke 23:55-21. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. This is Luke 23:55. So we see that they couldn't buy anything, even though the scriptures say they went and bought it. So there's no way they could buy it on the high Sabbath. They didn't know that Jesus was going to be dying on the cross, so they didn't have these spices sitting there waiting for them to use. So there had to be a day that they bought these spices. Well, that day was Friday. And they went out and bought spices, prepared them. And then the Sabbath happened again at 6 p.m., and they weren't ready. They didn't have the spices ready to go. So they had to wait through the next Sabbath because they couldn't work on those spices. So the next Sabbath was over, and then Sunday morning they could come to Jesus. So to make all these events fit, we can count backward from the weekly Sabbath, figure out what evening Jesus and his disciples had the Passover meal and what day was crucified. Timely events would look like this. Tuesday night after sunset, according to the Hebrew calendar of 31 AD, was the Passover meal with Jesus. Passover meal, prayer in Gethsemane. He was arrested and brought before the Jews. This was during the night of Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, he was before Pilate, on the cross by 9 a.m., and died by 3 p.m. Wednesday night, Jesus is in the tomb. First night, high Sabbath. Thursday, Jesus is in the tomb. First day, high Sabbath. The high priest meets with Pilate that day to send soldiers to the tomb. He's going to send soldiers to the tomb. And he wants to have the tomb sealed so that nobody could get into the tomb. And that happens on the first day, on Thursday. Thursday night, Jesus is in the tomb, which is the second night. Friday, Jesus is in the tomb, which is the second day. That's when Mary bought and prepared spices, and she worked all day to get these spices ready. Friday night happens. Jesus is in the tomb. This is the third night, and as the weekly Sabbath begins on the third night. Saturday, Jesus is in the tomb, the third day, and it's the weekly Sabbath. Saturday night, Jesus is not in the tomb. He's risen that night on the first day of the week, which started at 6 p.m., the evening of Saturday. In order for Jesus' words to be fulfilled of 3 days and three nights in the earth, he could not have spent a fourth night in the tomb. Therefore, sometime before sunrise, Jesus rose to make his words perfectly true. I wish that we had videos and Facebook and the communication that we have today to be able to know 100% what it was. But we weren't there. So we have to put all the scriptures together, which I've tried to do. When the woman arrived at the first opportunity to see what they had to do, Jesus had already arisen. He was gone. And I'd like to read Matthew 28:5. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come see the place where he was lying." And I think it's funny here that it says, "just as he said." Just exactly as he said. Exactly. And we read this also in Mark 16 and Luke 24. Verses that the Friday believers use, so now I'm going to switch to trying to convince myself that Friday is Friday. And again, it doesn't matter whether you believe Wednesday or Friday does not matter in your salvation. It really doesn't. I want to say that over and over. It really doesn't. I've convinced myself that it's Wednesday, no matter what. I've read every verse I could find. So now I'm going to switch to how the scriptures, according to what I've been taught my whole life, is Friday. So I'm going to switch to Luke 24, 9 through 21, which is where everybody hangs their hat on Friday. These scriptures only. This is it. This is the only scriptures that convinced me anything about Friday. So if you want to turn to that, Luke 24, 9 through 21, that's what I'm going to read. "And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Okay, so Friday is based on one verse in the entire New Testament. And that is Matthew 24:21. The entire description Friday is in one verse. So I've always been taught that that one verse, of what that one verse meant. So I'm going to give you another way to think of that one verse. And after reading all these other verses that tell the story, it comes down to this one verse. So I've read this to you. And we understand that everything's happened to Mary. She's excited. She's going to go back and she's going to tell this story. And the angels told her, go tell the story. Go tell the story of Jesus. Go tell the apostles. Go tell the disciples. Go tell everybody you can. Go back and tell the story. She'd just been, as she was coming, there was an earthquake. You know, so there's a lot of things that happened to Mary. She saw the soldiers. They were speechless. Talk to an angel. She did a lot of things that happened. So she's back telling the story. And that's where we start in verse 9. Mary's back telling the story. And Peter doesn't believe her. The disciples don't believe her. So Peter runs to the tomb. And we find that in verse 12. Peter runs. I can't believe it. So he runs and he has to see it for himself. And then after that, and I don't know what the time is between 12 and 13, but it's not very long. Two of them that same day leave after they've heard the whole story and they know everything that's happened, everything the high priest, Pilate, everything that's happened all the way through. Two of them go 7.5 miles away to a town named Emmaus. Okay. And they talk together. And it says here in verse 14, and they talk together all these things that had happened. So they tell everybody they can in the city. And as they're in the city, Jesus comes. Jesus comes to see him in the city. So, and he says, what manner of communication are these? What's going on? What's all this talk? Everybody's talking. What's going on? Everybody's sad. Everybody's upset. So one of them, and I don't know if that's one of the two that came from talking to Mary. I don't know the history of Cleopas. I don't know if he's just a man from the city. But he talks to Jesus and he tells Jesus the story, which nowhere in the Bible does it tell us the beginning and ending of the story that Mary told everyone. So to understand verse 21, you have to believe that what Cleopas told Jesus was after his crucifixion. And then it just ends. But what I believe, because when it says in 21, we trusted that it had been which should have redeemed Israel, And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Everything that's happened, he's told it. Okay? So everything that was done to Jesus ended after 6 p.m. on Thursday night, after the tomb was sealed. If I look at everything that happened, the tomb was sealed on Thursday night in the evening by the soldiers and the high priest and everybody else. This scripture never tells me what the story starting and ending is, but I can go in the other verses and find the exact ending of the story. And it's when the tomb was sealed. I guarantee you the soldiers looked in that tomb because they were going to be held responsible for what was Jesus being in that tomb when they came there with the high priest. I wouldn't have been a soldier over anything without making sure I knew what was in there. And then they sealed it. It took time. So I've convinced myself, even with this story, which I always was read 24:21 to me over and over my entire life and every class I was in, and I never went back and studied this entire chapter and tried to put it with the others. I never did that. And I want to say again that it doesn't matter whether you believe the Passover was on Friday or a Wednesday. It doesn't matter in your salvation at all. So please, I don't want to offend anyone. I just want to give you what I've studied and what I've looked into, what I believe. I will always believe that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday and the Passover was on a Wednesday. In the Bible. So that ends my lesson for this evening. For this morning. And what I'd like to do is offer the gospel invitation to anybody that wants to have that hope, have that eternal life, be with Christ, be up in heaven with him, be part of his kingdom, be baptized into his body, or to make anything known that you might want to bring before the congregation, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.